66 years old, this young country is. Congratulations, congratulations to the sensational land of Israel for achieving its 66th birthday in May 2014. Never too late for congratulations. Given its neighbors and the hatred surrounding every inch of its borders, it is miraculous, perhaps even a divine act of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that this little sliver of land called a nation, and only 8,019 square miles, and smaller than our state of New Jersey, is still alive. The land known as Israel can fit into the state of California 19 times. Isn't that amazing? Yet no matter its size, it is perhaps the most notorious nation in all of the world. It seems as though today the eyes of all other nations are on the Middle East and focused on the land of Israel. Interesting to note that the so-called Jewish state is the only one of its kind. It's the only Jewish state in the world. There are, by contrast, 56 Islamic countries. 56. 49 essentially Roman Catholic. 20 countries essentially or in the majority Protestant, 12 Eastern Orthodox, 4 Hindu, and 1 Jewish nation. And that would be Israel. Worldwide, 2 billion people embrace Christianity. 1.6 billion people have adopted Islam. 1 billion people worship as Hindus. There are 376 million people who embrace Buddhism, and those who are Jewish and practice Judaism as a religion represent 14 million people. 14 million. That's all. Fascinating minority figures, don't you think? In the age of Hitler, 1938 to 1945, one should never forget that there were at least 6 million Jews slaughtered by that insane dictator and his ethnic cleansing minions. The righteous and right-thinking world thereafter voted through the United Nations to reestablish Israel as a nation for the Jews. And in 1948, 66 years ago in May, the nation of Israel was born again. It was indeed a major moment of justice and triumph for these abused and persecuted people. For Zionism, the national liberation movement of the Jewish people who sought to restore their freedom and independence in their ancestral homeland, Zionism has never died, even as so many Jews had died. And in fact, Zionism was perhaps the most life-motivating force of all true Jews. Theodor Herzl founded the modern Zionist movement in 1897 in a formal way, knowing as he did that the dream of restoration and return to Israel, the holy and promised land, had always been at the core of Judaism and Jewish identity. Jews had always been indigenous to Israel and have maintained a continuous presence for at least 3,000 years. Facts verified by archaeological and historical evidence, and of course the biblical text as well. Referring to that biblical text, in the first book of the Old Testament, the Torah, the book of Genesis, the God of Abraham promised to him and his people all of the land from the great river of Egypt, the Nile, to the great river Euphrates, and well further north than its present borders, and south as well. In fact, the land promised by the great Yahweh was many times larger than the land now occupied by the Israelis, many times. That covenant of God with Abraham and his people was made some 3,000 years ago. The promised land, so covenanted, was never forgotten by the Jews who have lived in numbers large and small in this holy land since the time of that promise. And since 1948, Jews have made the great Aliyah to the Promised Land, the miraculous fulfillment of Zionism by the tens of thousands. Throughout the Torah, and of course elsewhere in the Old Testament, and especially the prophets, the chosen people of God were to be scattered among the nations. But at the appointed time, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob would call them back, would orchestrate a return, Zionism at work, so that his people could reoccupy as a nation the land promised to them. That right of return, the real right of return by the real owners of the real land, has been happening ever since. 1948, it began en masse, and it continues even today. No matter the threat of dozens of nations and the hostility and hatred of the surrounding Arab countries, the promise of God is eternal and will in fact be fulfilled. You can bet on that. So, my fellow Americans and Christians, and even many Jews, you either believe the Bible, the promises of the Torah, and the prophets, or you don't. If you don't believe these promises, then of course anything goes and man makes the rules. But if you believe in God and the God of Abraham, and for Christians, the Father of Jesus the Christ, then these promises are real, and they will in fact happen. They will happen, but according to the divine timetable. Not ours, but His. You and I do not interpret what is said, nor do we add or subtract. Our thoughts and opinions are irrelevant if these promises are true. If you don't believe, then anything goes. But I personally make a spiritual wager that everything promised by the God of Abraham will, in fact, happen. The only question to be asked is, when? Hear then the promises of the Lord God Almighty, so well stated by the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 36. It says, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Thus saith the Lord. Well, you either believe that or you don't. The Lord at work. And here comes the gathering and the return. Wow. You either believe that was a promise covenant now being fulfilled and will continue to be so, or you don't. I do. The return, Zionism at work, it's happening now and will continue to happen under the master plan of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thus saith the Lord. But rather than consider the Jews as chosen people, special before the Lord God, Arabs, Islamic countries, and Islam itself thinks otherwise. The words echoed by Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi in 2010 regarding the Jews should never, ever be forgotten. Morsi described Jews, or Zionists as he called them, as, you ready for this? Bloodsuckers and warmongers. And this is a beauty from President Morsi. Descendants, the Jews are, of apes and pigs. Oh, my Lord, can you believe that? You can be sure you never read that in the liberal media, which tends more anti-Semitic every day, don't you think? These good men and women, these Jews, are hated by tens of millions, by hundreds of millions of Arabs, even though Israel and the Jews export more life-saving medical technology per capita than any other country in the world. Interesting fact, isn't it? From these blood suckers. Jews, says Morsi further, Jews must not be given any opportunity and must not stand on any Islamic or Arab land, and they must be driven out of our countries, even though these Jews have established a Save a Child's Heart program, which performs free open-heart surgeries for underprivileged children from around the world, regardless of race, religion, or ethnicity. By the way, 49% of the patients in this incredible Jewish program are from Palestinian communities, Jordan, Iraq, and Morocco. Interesting fact, isn't it? Check to see how many free open-heart surgeries for underprivileged children have been performed in Egypt, or Iran, or Syria, or even Russia, for that matter. No matter, Morsi and his ilk want nothing more than the total extermination of these criminal Zionists and their removal from the Promised Land, so-called Palestine, and once and for all. No problem with that, is there? For, after all, these Israelis who developed a computerized system for administering medications in order to prevent human error, isn't that great? These people are nothing more than descendants of apes and pigs, so says Mr. Morsi. Wow, talk about hatred. Recall that at its narrowest point, Israel is only 9 miles wide. 9 miles wide. And that's from the Mediterranean to the West Bank. 9 miles. And Israel is only 290 miles long. 290 miles, this little sliver of land. Israel is surrounded by Arab countries which occupy land in the millions of square miles. Millions, compared to 8,000 for Israel. Every inch of the nation of Israel is surrounded by hostile nations and threats of war and extermination, always. To the southeast comes Egypt and the Sinai. In Gaza to the east, Hamas is a constant threat for war, as we now see. Hundreds, even thousands of missiles exist in Gaza under the control of Hamas and constantly fired at Israel. The distance and accuracy of such missiles are now greater than ever, and all of Israel, including Jerusalem, is under the threat of attack and destruction from these missiles, many supplied by Iran and even Russia. Russia's back. The Mediterranean Sea to the east has constant threats from Iran, Russia, Syria, and any other hostile nation which can attack the Israeli offshore energy installations, so vital to Israel and even the very country itself. And then, of course, there is Lebanon with Hezbollah to the north and Syria, still a threat despite its own civil wars, Syria to the northeast, and especially the Golan Heights. There is Jordan to the west, once peaceful with Israel, but now becoming all the more warlike and as such a threat. Every inch of Israel's borders are occupied by enemies or potential enemies, but perhaps the greatest threat of all is the so-called West Bank, east of Jordan, a land which now so very sadly comprises the old Jewish territories of Judea and Samaria. Right-thinking Jews regard this occupation, and that's the real occupation of sacred land, as an abomination and a political disaster. Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, belong to Israel. The West Bank ironically virtually surrounds the holy city of Jerusalem to the north, east, and south, and itself contains the once great cities of Jericho and Bethlehem, among others. The West Bank is a sad state of affairs for all who are truly Jewish and believe in the promises of the God of Abraham. The ceding of the West Bank to the Arabs, the so-called Palestinians, was an effort by the Israelis to trade land for peace, possibly the worst decision ever made by the Israelis in these incredibly difficult and exciting 66 years. For there will never be peace in Israel, never, so say the militant Islamic jihadists who exist everywhere, no matter the sure and constant promise of the Arabs that the Israelis and the Jews will in fact be eliminated. There will be no peace. It's impossible. The words of then Iranian leader Ahmadinejad are truer now than when they were voiced in 2012. He said, "They, the Jews, they have no roots there in history, in Palestine, that is. They represent minimal disturbances that come into the picture and are then eliminated." You know, these descendants of apes and pigs, eliminated. And the so-called peace talks led by the Secretary of State John Kerry, our very own man, go on when Palestinians and Islamists promise nothing but war and destruction. And recall the words in January 2012 of Supreme Iranian leader Ali Khamenei, who said the following, quote, "Israel is a cancerous tumor," that is another one, "that should be cut and will be cut," end quote. And of course, the peace talks go on, no matter that reality. Go back, my fellow Americans, all the way to 2001 and hear the words of then-Iranian President Akbar Rafsanjani, 2001, who said the following in recognition of the fact that Israel had nuclear weapon capability. He said, "If one day the Islamic world is also equipped with weapons like those that Israel possesses now, then the imperialist strategy will reach a standstill because the use of even one nuclear bomb inside Israel, will destroy everything." Forgot to mention about 1.2 million Arabs with it. "It is not irrational," said Rafsanjani, "to contemplate such an eventuality." Not irrational? And the drumbeat of war goes on, and the peace talks go on, Mr. Kerry, in spite of the facts and the dynamics in the real world. I wonder why the Israelis even bother. I think Israeli diplomacy should be guided by the words of then Prime Minister Menachem Begin, who said to the Jews, "Never, never again. Never again. Never again would the Jews be persecuted, much less eliminated. Remember the Holocaust?" Menachem Begin said, as a result of 6 million Jews dying, "Never again, never again." Don't ever forget those words, you Jewish diplomats, you Israeli diplomats. And no matter the Arab hatred or the growing worldwide anti-Semitism, Israel should and must stand tall and let the world know that no matter the atrocities, the onslaught or actuality of war itself, as it now exists in Gaza through Hamas, Israel, this promised land, will stand and will fight and will show the world that no matter what they do, that is the Arabs, there will never, ever, ever again be another Holocaust. Never again. And the peace talks go on. What a joke.